This is Will's Band of the Week for December 15th, 2013. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Grant, live in studio.
Hello.
You know what that means, when Grant's live in studio?
No.
We have something up our sleeve, right? It means it's some sort of special edition, right?
Yeah.
It is the end of year list time of year, right?
Right.
You know, in the past, we did our best of the year kind of like, we'd record it like in mid-December, and it'd be like December, you know, 15th or 20th by the time we'd have it up, and we were kind of lamenting that our list was coming out after all the other lists, so it kind of sounded like we were reacting to the other lists.
Yeah.
So we decided we better record ours a little bit earlier. So I think this year we hit it about right.
Yeah, this is like prime list release.
Yeah.
Time.
And now we are we're gonna go through Grant's top 10 of the year on this podcast, and it'll still be reasonably timely, right?
Yeah.
You think?
I think so.
And, you know, just because your top three are Arcade Fire, Kanye West, and Daft Punk, that doesn't mean that you got those three from other people.
It's actually right? Not Daft Punk, it's Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you, let me ask you this. Now, you gave me your list a few days ago, and you haven't been telling me that you want to change anything. Did you hear that Barrett changed one of his, like, the night of?
The night of?
Yeah, he moved his number 10, like, up to 8 or 9 or something. Yeah.
Well, I was listening to something last night, and it was very, very close, but I didn't think that it quite kicked off my number 10.
Oh, it almost did, though, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, I had considered it. I went through several phases of the list I came up with right now, so you're seeing a reviewed and revised version of what my original list was.
Okay, because we were talking about that, you know, a little bit, I think, on our podcast, which was, you know, what are the things that just barely got bumped? Like, for my number 10, I was down to a really loud thing and a really quiet thing, and I just decided to go with the loud one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really close. So, you know, and how sometimes you can't, that's like, it's just so, it seems so arbitrary, like, two different kinds of music entirely. And what are you going to rank above
exactly.
the other? So you just have to go with what I did. I just went with, like, what do I feel like listening to again a little bit more? Mm-hmm. Or maybe something that just is a little different from everything else on the list. So it's all arbitrary anyway. But on the other hand, you are going to give us the top 10 of the year, right?
Yeah. This is going to be objectively the best list out of every single list made this year.
So I'm going to probably, you know, this is a predictable comment, but I'm going to call this the Will's Band of the Week top 10 for the younger crowd and the people who like generally maybe a little bit noisier music, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Grant's going to give us a lot of... Now, I've heard all of these, and most of these you've introduced me to, and I've heard them, you know, quite a bit. And there are two or three that I've only listened to a little bit, but I think it's a solid list. So we'll see if the listeners agree. So listeners, let us know after you hear this what you thought. And if it seems a little too loud, let your younger brother or sister or son or daughter listen to it.
Or maybe your cool older brother.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so should we do it? We, you know, I was thinking, oh, do we try to find some music news? Nah, forget it.
Let's just go for it.
So, yeah. Okay, Grant, what's number 10?
All right. Number 10 is a band from Brooklyn, New York, called Grooms.
And we saw them
Actually, I've seen them twice. My dad has seen them once. And when we saw them together, it was in New Orleans.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, too. When you see a band live, do you does that affect what you think of their album?
Yeah, I think it does to a certain extent. But
yeah, I think it really does.
I wouldn't say that not seeing a band live would restrict your enjoyment of an album, as is evidenced by my top three, I think.
Bands that you have not seen live.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, all right, Grooms. And the album is called Infinity Caller. And what track are we going to play?
It's called I Think We're Alone Now.
Grooms. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like your picks that have a little bit of a pop element to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, you know, I think most of the stuff on your list does. You know, yeah. And this one, I guess, is outwardly kind of poppy.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff you picked is...
Most outwardly poppy, probably.
Yeah, some of the other stuff you picked is like either discordant or noisy on first listen, but then there's like that cool
melody
musical element
buried underneath or something.
Yeah, which is great. All right, Grooms at number 10. What's number 9?
All right, number 9 is a duplicate from, I think it was number 10 on your list, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Avlov.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know where they're from. Somewhere on the East Coast, right?
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that count as the coast? It's not quite.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough,
I think.
Yeah. Now the Connecticut residents are going to criticize us. They're going to say we're a bunch of small town cow
Hicks.
And cheese loving Midwestern nerds. Yeah. Avlov. That's Volvo spelled backwards for those of you at home who didn't know that. The album is called Am. There was an Arctic Monkeys album. Was that Am or was that AM?
I think that was AM.
Yeah,
like
I think so.
Arctic Monkeys also.
Oh yeah, and AM
akin
radio.
To MBV for My Bloody Valentine.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one is actually the word AM.
Yeah, just AM.
Yeah. All
they
right.
They don't even capitalize it, I think, on Bandcamp.
Oh. Okay. What are we playing?
All right. The song is called Blue Baby.
That's what they call a wall of guitars, right?
Yeah. That's why I like that song.
Yep. A lot of walls of guitars on that album.
Yeah.
Avlov. It's a good one.
Definitely.
All right. What do we got at number 8?
All right. Number 8 is a Portland band called Hausu.
Is that a Japanese term?
I think there's a Japanese movie called Hausu. It's probably pronounced a different way, but their band is pretty much unrelated to that as far as I'm aware.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to play the first song off their first album. The song is called Chrysanthemum. We'll be right back.
Haosu Chrysanthemum. The album is called Total.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love that song. I would have, if they had a whole album of songs that good, it would have definitely been in my top 10.
Yeah.
And as it was, I really liked about half of it. And the other half I didn't dislike. But yeah, really solid. Really good.
Yeah, and I think there's good. There's a really great beginning and end to the album. I think the middle is the only kind of questionable part, but I think the whole album is consistent enough for me that it's pretty high up on the list.
Yeah.
At least on the list.
Good pick. Yep. Okay, number 7.
All right. Number 7 from Seattle, lo-fi goth rock band called Grave Babies.
If you have grave in your name, then you're goth rock.
Oh, yeah.
Just automatically. Mm-hmm. Well, you could be metal, I guess, but these guys aren't really metal.
And I think this is, like, I guess you can group it into lo-fi, but I think it's recorded in a really tasteful way. It doesn't seem like it's just sort of thrown together at the cheapest way to record it possible. It seems like sort of calculated. At least it's someone did a really good job, like, mixing and mastering this, because I think it sounds really great.
There's an art to lo-fi, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, lo-fi can be just bad, or it can be just kind of cool, like, you know, my favorite album, B-1000 by Guided by Voices. Yep. That's lo-fi, but it's just, there's something just so cool about the way it's recorded.
I just feel there's a really awesome aesthetic to this album that you can't get from, like, hi-fi music, so.
All right, Grave Babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song is called Count Cuts.
Grave Babies. The album is called Crusher. Yeah, now you might think it's metal if you just heard the band name and the album called Crusher, right?
Yeah, and the severed pig head on the album cover.
That could make it, yeah. That is an interesting album cover. Yeah, I like the drum sound. It's kind of cool. It's got this, like, brightness to it, which is kind of, and it's punchy.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, sort of sounds like an old Joy Division album or something. The drums do. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to number 6 now, and I think this is a fun pick. I kind of wanted to find a spot for this one, but I couldn't quite get it on my list. But cool album.
Yeah. Okay. This is Speedy Ortiz, and I think the closest genre they fit into would be '90s. Is how pretty much everyone describes them as '90s indie rock. But I think it's a really great album with some cool stuff that separates it from maybe like Old Pavement. It's not like you're just listening to a clone of an old band. They've got some cool stuff going on that other people don't.
You always hear Pavement as the point of reference, kind of like people talk about Avlov sounding like Dinosaur Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So but you're right. It's not a clone by any means. Just a point of reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the album is called Major Arcana. And what are we going to play?
Tiger Tank.
We'll be right back.
Speedy Ortiz, a band that you and I are going to be seeing about 24 hours from the time that we're recording this, right?
Yep, that is correct.
We'll have to give an update to the listeners.
Sure.
Whether the live performance enhances the perception or not.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be good. Yeah. All right. Boy, that's half of them right there. We're down to your top five. And as I always like to say, when you get to the top five, you're getting it's pretty serious, right?
Oh, yeah.
Serious stuff.
Very serious.
This is no joking matter at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this band is number five, let me lead into this a little bit.
Okay.
You know, some bands I think would be really easy to just write off and forget after they have like a hot album, right? And this is one of those bands I think that they could have, if they put out an album that wasn't that great, everybody would just say, okay, that's it. I don't care about them anymore. But they did what they needed to do. They put out a really strong album. You know, like they brought their game.
Yeah.
I think they did. So who are we talking about?
All right, we are talking about Waves.
Yeah, and Barrett had this on his list too.
Yeah, the notorious Waves, Nathan Williams.
Right.
So I guess this is the closest thing on my list that I would ever use the term guilty pleasure for, because I kind of feel like it's not really cool to like Waves.
Yeah.
But I do like Waves, and I think they're really good at what they do, and they just write undeniably catchy sort of pop rock music, and it goes great with like sunny beach style backgrounds and stuff like that.
So yeah. Yep.
I'm biased towards this album because I listened to it in Florida, but
it was the perfect soundtrack to a trip to Florida, right?
Yeah, it was though. But coming back to it at this time in the year, I still like it a lot, and I still think the songs are really catchy, and it's just a great album. So I'm going to play the song Lunge Forward.
That's good. That's Waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and part of what they did, it's interesting, they kind of stuck to what they're good at,
mm-hmm.
right? They didn't, and the recording's a little cleaner and punchier, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
So, like, higher quality studio production, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to, I keep thinking that he's going to just, like, screw up and, like, think that he can do it all and, like, have a bunch of horns and stuff, and it's just going
to
be a train wreck.
Just, like, droney ballad type stuff. I mean, there's stuff kind of like that, but
yeah,
nothing too different from like old Waves. They just sort of improve on what they've always been doing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty mm-hmm. good. Afraid of Heights is the album. So you know what that reminded me of? There was another really catchy poppy album that I know you and I both liked. It didn't make either of our lists.
Yeah.
And it's Parquet Courts.
Yeah.
That's a good album. It's one of those albums that
are you sure that wasn't technically a 2012 release? I thought it was.
I think it was like January or
really?
February All of right. 13.
I thought I saw it listed somewhere as 2012, mm. but I have no idea.
Well, anyway, I think it was early 2013. And that was another one, like, well, Grooms was another example, your number 10, where I listened to it over a long enough period of time, and it just kept growing on me till I really liked it a lot. And Parquet Courts was that way. And then we saw them live, and they were good. So,
yeah, they were great live.
So they're one of those, didn't quite make the list, but we really should have mentioned them. And, you know, either Baird or Chris should have had them on there. So this is, I guess, Parquet Courts is, we'll call them the band that our podcast has done the greatest disservice to. But now I'm making up for it right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Parquet Courts. You guys are good. Mm-hmm. All right. Grant, what is your number four album for 2013?
My number four album is one of the two bands on this list that I've seen live. So it's No Joy. They are a shoegaze band, and I think they're a really, really good shoegaze band.
Where are these guys from? Are they from Canada?
From Montreal.
Yeah. I think that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say everybody on your list is American, but here's a Canadian band.
There's two Canadian bands.
So they're all North American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
True. They're all in the upper half of the United States, I think.
Yeah.
Or north of the north and south divider.
But to your credit, you know, Seattle and Brooklyn are pretty far apart. So
that's true.
You're not being too narrow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or Seattle to Montreal. That's kind of a long trip.
East and West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No Joy.
Yeah. This song is called Hair Tear It Lies.
No Joy, Grant's number four, Weight to Pleasure, that's the name of the album. And we saw them, didn't we see them at the Frequency?
Yeah, they're opening for Mets.
That's right. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Frequency, most of you probably are not, but that's one of our local music venues that has, I believe the capacity is 99.
Yep.
That's how small that place is. It is like the classic, tiny, crowded bar.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat to see bands of, you know, pretty high caliber playing in there. They have a good sound system.
It's great.
And it's just and the other cool thing is both you and I, our bands have played there, which is kind of cool,
yeah,
right?
That's that
fun.
Cool.
So but you know, not to say that, you know, we're like national touring acts or anything. You might be someday.
I hope so.
But I'm not. Yeah. But the best example, I told you about this, was when we saw A Place to Bury Strangers at the Frequency, like still probably one of your favorite bands, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the band was so much like bigger than the room they were playing in. It transformed that room into like you're in like a different world with the strobe lights and stuff. I just couldn't believe I was in the
Frequency. The entire place was filled with fog.
It was just
by the end of the show, it was like hard to see.
I mean, I bet that's one of the smallest places they've played a gig, you know, in years.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, that was cool. It's like they're playing a private show or something.
They practically were. There were like 50 people there.
Yep. Okay, what's number three?
All right. Number three is a band called Slow Warm Death. I think it started out as a bunch of demos by a guy named John Galm. And he was in a pretty popular emo band called Snowing. So this is pretty different from that. It's really garage rock and energetic.
I agree. This is a good one. You told me about this album back, I think it was around the time that we did that trip to Florida, yeah, right? Like last April?
It was about the same.
Yeah, same and you time. Said, you got to listen to this band. And they never got any press or anything. So
yeah, this is probably the least popular, least recognized band on this list.
Yeah, and it's definitely fun garage rock. Yeah. Slow Warm Death, self-titled. So what song are we going to play?
All right, song is called Alone.
Had to fade that one out a little sooner so we wouldn't play the whole song.
Yeah, it's a short song.
It's a minute 34. But, you know, one of the strengths of this album, and I have listened to this one a few times, it's that it really is pretty consistent, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think just like the vocals and the way it was recorded, just like, I don't know, I just got into that a lot more than like other sort of garage rock people like Ty Segall or whatever. I just found this a lot more appealing.
Yeah. Take that. Ty Segall.
Got him.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And all of his related bands. You
sure.
Know, like,
I think Fuzz is pretty good, though.
Michael Cronin was on Chris's list.
No, I didn't really like that.
It has a little more acoustic-y stuff mixed into it.
Almost sounds like Brit pop or something.
It's too poppy for you?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Let's see. Okay. The All seriousness right. is increasing now. When you get to number two, I mean,
yeah.
Number two is close to number one, right? I mean, it could have been in a different year.
It's pretty close.
It could
yeah.
have been number one. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Okay, what do we got?
All right, number two is Haunted Horses. I think we had this album on the podcast a while ago.
Yes.
And played it off Bandcamp. And I came very close to seeing them, but I did not. I did buy the LP from the band members, though, so that's something.
Yes, it is.
Even if
yeah, I told that whole
live.
Story about us going to Milwaukee and
yeah.
not quite seeing
I think
horses.
So.
Yep. Yep. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
One of those rock and roll stories.
Yeah.
So, so their album is called Watcher, and this one, you know, this one didn't get a lot of press either, did it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're big enough they can kind of tour, but I don't think they have too big name recognition yet. Nothing from Pitchfork or whatever, but I think they're gaining popularity, definitely. And they're an awesome band. They're definitely skilled musicians. They have a lot of great, like, transitions in between songs and just, like, overall flow and energy through the album. I think this is also super, super consistent, which is obviously why I picked it.
And this is another Northwest band, right?
Yeah, Seattle.
Yep. Very good. Okay, what are we going to play?
Song's called Luminance.
We'll be right back.
Haunted Horses. Yeah, they kind of sound like a band that would have the word haunted in their name. They got got a haunting sound.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ominous vocals, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready? We ready for number one?
I think we're ready, yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me that this was your number one, because
I
heard this sound coming out of your room a lot this year. And and it's one of those. I would say this is the at least second one on the list that the guitars sound like they're bursting out of the speakers. I said that about Avlov before. This one has that kind of same kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's just, yeah. it's really, it's a pretty,
wall sound. Yeah.
Pretty good quality wall of sound. And but they've got some tunes also. And another Northwest band, right?
Yep.
So tell us about them.
Second Canadian band, Weed from Vancouver. This is also their first full-length album, like Slow Warm Death and Haosu and Avlov, I think.
And we didn't hear much about these guys, except they did do one of those KEXP live things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I think you showed it to me, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a really good performance, I think.
And the album is called Deserve.
Yep.
I'm going to make a terrible reference here, but I'm going to say that you believe this deserves your top ranking.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Good one. It was hilarious. Okay. This is my most played song of the year. So,
do you just know that because you know it, or do you have, does your music player have
have
a
list? I have statistics on my computer. This is my most played song.
See, I don't have that. I mean, we were talking about this before where, you know, iTunes has the play count, but the problem is that I listen to things when they're new, where they get the heavy rotation.
Yeah.
I've usually got them on a Spotify playlist, mm-hmm. and then I transition it over to iTunes. Usually I actually pay for it and put it on iTunes. So, all right. So, Weed, what's the song we're going to play?
All right. The song is Set Me Back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wall of guitars.
Mm-hmm.
With kind of a catchy melody.
Yeah.
So that's really, you know, whether it fits the genre description, I don't know, but literally you would have to call that power pop, right?
Yeah, I guess.
It's got a lot of power.
Definitely.
And does have a pop
sludge
sensibility.
Pop or something.
Yeah, yeah, sludge pop.
Yeah.
That's a good term. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny the we've talked about this with respect to some other bands, but when they have like the set of adjectives, you know, to describe, and some of them are just hilarious.
Noise, sludge, noise rock, sludge pop.
I think Haunted Horses had a funny list on their Bandcamp, didn't they? Of their
industrial punk was one of them, I think.
Yeah, that could, yeah,
something like that.
And we've talked about the site AllMusic, I think it is.
Yeah,
if you go to a band and they'll have like adjectives that are used to describe, and some of them are just hilarious. And what's kind of fun about it is that a lot of times you kind of agree, right?
You're like, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
That kind of, yeah, I guess that word does apply. So
yeah,
anyway, very interesting. So hey, another year.
Yeah, Do you have any albums you're looking forward to in 2014? Do you have anything you want to hype
for? We could hype the one that you mentioned to me. I'm really looking forward to. That's and I told Baird and Chris last week that I am the resident expert on cloud bands. So Cloud Nothings have an album coming out, and that one I am definitely looking forward to.
They have a preview on YouTube of some of the songs.
They do the teaser thing, really, right? They give you like 1 minute, and it has like little pieces of like maybe four or five songs, and it all sounds, it's got kind of a cool sound to it, right?
Yeah.
So it makes you think, hey, I think maybe this is going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a thing that bands do sometimes now, which I think it's kind of effective sometimes.
Yeah. I have one more band for that, which is a band called Nothing, and I might be seeing them in January, and they're releasing their full length, I think, early next year.
And I think you've played some of that for me.
The one single from that is really good, and they have a really solid EP called Downwards Used to Come, which is really good.
Okay. The band is called Nothing. Chris has made references to this, the Google-proof band, right? Your band is called Nothing. Okay, yeah. But, you know, I guess then you just type in, like, Nothing Band.
Yeah.
And then you might find them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's usually how you find
bands.
They're
pretty easy to find. They've done a ton of touring and played like CMJ and stuff like that all over the place. So
Cloud Nothings and Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that until you just said it.
I looked at one of the sites that has a list of upcoming releases, you know, and I looked at like January, February. There's just not that much.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is they start to creep out, you know, and sometimes you don't even find out about them until you're into January. Mm-hmm. And then by like late January, usually a lot of stuff is starting to come out. People that knew they weren't going to get it out for the, you know, the holiday season, or, you know, if you don't get it out by October, usually, you know, or early November.
You miss your chance at the top 10 lists if you release your album like next Tuesday or something.
Right, right. Wasn't there one, a couple of years ago where the album came out and it was like within days of people putting it on there, and they would put it on their list, right? God, well, I can't remember what that was. It was literally like, oh, this album came out like 3 days ago and it's on my top 10.
Black Keys. It was a Black Keys album.
It might have been like that. It might have been that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the Arcade Fire album this year was like, it had been out
Not maybe for a month.
So.
But yeah.
But it still seemed pretty new.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody picked Arcade Fire either in our group. And I know you're not really an Arcade Fire fan.
I am not.
But I still feel like, you know, if I gave that album maybe the time, you know, a reasonable amount of time, that I could see myself saying that, yes, this is a very accomplished album and I think it's good. And I generally do think it's good, but it didn't quite rise to that level. And we made a point of telling people not to listen to Haim, so I'm sure you'd concur in that.
Oh, definitely.
Right? Yeah. So, all right. Boy, there's a lot to look forward to. I think that you know, being a teenager, of course, you're just like blossoming into your whole musical taste thing, right? So,
I'm pretty blossomed already, honestly.
Well, yeah, I know. That's a good point.
In my opinion.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, like, you probably have, I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you had a hard time coming up with 10 things.
I had more than enough this year. Definitely.
And I think last year you had more than enough, and this year you have even more than enough.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that, you know, in 2014, you probably would be able to come up with like a top 30 or something with the amount of music you're listening to.
Yeah.
Although it's always a thing, and I'm kind of thinking this year I would kind of like to listen to not quite as many albums and listen to them a little bit more, rather than like every week, like 3 or 4 new things I'm trying to listen to, and then I don't have enough time to listen to other stuff. And so, I don't know, I think I need to kind of regulate the number of things. But then again, I don't want to like not listen to new things because that's so fun.
Right.
So, got to try to find the right balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me give some shout outs to bands that didn't quite make the list.
All right.
So, there's a few EPs. Parquet Courts EP was good. No Joy had an EP called Pastel and Pass Out that was released in November. That's also really good. True Widow.
You listened to them a lot.
Yeah. They released an album called The Circumambulation, and that is a really solid album. That was what I was talking about earlier. That was just on the brink of being number 10. But I listened to that last night, and I think it is a really solid album also, even if it didn't make my list.
Yeah, good.
Did I mention Were?
No.
Okay, Were had an EP also, but it's a long EP, so it's like 20 minutes long, called Around. That's very good. And yeah, check that out too.
All right, good. The listeners have plenty to check out now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Grant. And yeah. I'm sure you'll have more music to tell us about as the year goes on.
Definitely.
And then probably the end of 2014, maybe you'll be back again.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think you will.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You won't have fled yet. You'll still be living here with us, but you'll be, yeah, you'll be thinking about fleeing. But yes, hopefully not yet fled.
Maybe not.
All right. That's it. And thanks, everybody. Hope you liked Grant's selections.
Yeah.
I did.
You're welcome,
I thought
listeners.
They were good. And we'll talk to you again next week. I don't know what next week's going to be, by the way. It could be some new stuff.
Do you have music? Yeah.
It could be. I thought about, I might even throw a holiday thing up there.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, there's always some fun holiday-themed music to play. But we'll see. Don't know yet.
All right.
Got to keep them guessing. I'm keeping myself guessing, too. That's part of the spontaneity of the podcast. We don't even know what we're going to do until sometimes pretty shortly before we do it. But that's why we're so, that's why we sound so fresh and vital. Because this is not something that is just, you know, methodically and mechanically planned out, right?
Cutting edge, trend-setting podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And appropriately recognized as such. All right. Thanks again. We will talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @WillsBand. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.